worship this morning. Let us begin. To all who are weary and need rest, to all who mourn and long for comfort, to all who feel worthless and wonder if God cares, to all who fail and desire strength, to all who sin and need a Savior, this church opens her doors with a welcome from Jesus Christ, the ally of his enemies, the defender of the guilty, the justifier of the inexcusable, the friend of sinners. Welcome. And in that same light, let us stand up and greet each other this morning.
Good morning.
I know my hands are still freezing. As you guys gather back to your seats, a couple announcements. First, Happy New Year and Blessed New Year. This is the first, this is the first Sunday of this new year. May the Lord continue to bless all our families and as we continue to worship and serve the Lord together. Just a quick reminder for all of us who are, welcome to all the new members of our church. But there's also an annual business meeting for all the members in 2 weeks. So just a reminder, on January 21st, for all you who are members, stay. And then we're going to have a couple announcements and also voting some issues, including the new deacons and elders. As you guys also enlighten in the same light, if you look at the back of our bulletin that has like a summary of the budget, definitely praise the Lord that we met our budget this year, and actually we have a little bit of a surplus, I guess. So that's all blessings to God. It's always a gift from God, and grace has shown us that we can meet our needs for this church to run. If you still want to join us as a member of this church, find Brother Victor Wang for the application form. And also, in the back, there's going to be a calendar for the families. And also, as we've been doing, there's also a daily Bible reading plan. So if you want to follow along with the Luke passage, there's a weekly reading plan. And especially, a lot of us are thinking about how can we continue to grow in the Lord on a daily basis. I think it's a good way to start out. For the rest of the announcements and also the prayer requests, you can look at your bulletin. Let us now stand together, and we're going to go for a reading. It comes from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 11. And I'll start with the odd verses and the congregation read the even verses, and we'll finish in the last verse together. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows on it, surely the people are grass.
The grass withers, the flower fades, the word of the Lord will stand.
Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice of strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not, says the cities of Judah. Behold your God.
Behold the Lord God.
Together, he will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead them to those with young. Let us pray for the offering at this time. Our offering box can be found in the back of the sanctuary. Oh, gracious God, you have indeed shown yourself to be good and gracious. And we're grateful for all the blessings shown us through this last year in 2017. You've been watching over us like a shepherd, gently watching over his flock. You cared for us and loved us, and ultimately you came upon this sinful world to ultimately lay down your life, to pay the high price that we cannot pay for, that we may be given new life in your resurrection, Lord. We praise you and thank you for the gift of salvation, this good news of the gospel. We pray, Lord, as you watch over this church, as we head out to this 2018, that you may continue to guide and lead it. That these resources we know that we give up to you, Lord, is ultimately to further your kingdom, to bring praise and worship to your name. May you bless it. May you guide the leaders. May you lead those who are stepping up to the board. That you may give them wisdom and understanding. And also, Lord, may you give thanks for those who have been serving these last couple of years. In the precious name of Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. On Friday after fellowship, we went to this Thai diner. It was really great. And we all decided to go get dessert after. So after some planning, we decided we wanted to go get ice cream at Harmon's. I don't know if you've been to the Harmon's by Brickyard. It's a really great Harmon's. But we were in the ice cream aisle, and there was this lady, and she saw us kind of looking at the Talenti gelato stuff. And she was like, "You guys got to try this Red Button ice cream." And she went on for 10, 15 minutes. We were all there trying to figure out what ice cream we wanted. And she says, "You got to try this ice cream." And I'm sitting there with John, Yao, and Josie, and the rest of us. And I turned to John. I'm like, "Lady, I know. Like, I've had it before. Like, I just want some other ice cream." And then so after some time, I couldn't decide what I wanted. I ended up with Red Button ice cream. And so I'm sitting there at Randy's apartment. We're eating ice cream, and I get this big tub of chocolate malt. And the first spoonful, and I'm like, "Oh my gosh, this is so good." And I think sometimes, just kind of reflecting on that moment, that's how sometimes I feel about church and I feel about the gospel, is hearing these songs, hearing the scriptures, hearing the sermon, and seeing, I've heard this before. I've heard this over and over and over again. And sometimes you need a lady in the ice cream aisle to come into your life and say, "Hey, you really need this." So that's why I really hope these songs would do to us, with that they would remind us of how good the gospel is, how good God is, and who he is. So we're going to sing a new song. It's called "Great Are You, Lord." And this is what we say as a church. This is what we're saying as people of God, is that he is life, he is love, he's light in the darkness, he brings hope, he's restoring all broken hearts. And that's what we're proclaiming to ourselves. Maybe that's what you guys need to hear. Maybe you're proclaiming it to your family. Maybe you're proclaiming it to your coworkers. This is what we say as a church. So if you know it, sing along. I'm going to sing the first verse and the chorus, and you guys can follow along here. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for being an awesome God. We thank you for being a glorious God. And Lord, we thank you for the gospel that helps us to see that, that in our lostness and our darkness, Lord, you have spoken loudly through your word. You've spoken loudly through Jesus on the cross and his resurrection. Lord, I pray that you'd speak even louder today. Help us to see the goodness of the gospel as a church. Help us to speak it as a church to ourselves and to each other here. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene.
position us in your light, that the light of Christ might be seen today. Grasp the heights of your plans for us. Truths unchanged from the dawn of time that will echo down through eternity. And by grace we'll stand on your promises. And by faith we'll walk as you walk with us. Oh Lord, till your church is built and the earth is filled with your glory. Speak, speak. Oh Lord, till your church is built and the earth is filled with your glory.
Time of saying the Apostles' Creed together. The Apostles' Creed is what we confess, what we believe as a church body. So let's say in unison, I believe in God the Father, mighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From hence, he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. You may sit down as we move into a time of prayer. As we move into a time of prayer, I want us to remember our missionaries. We want to remember Jane Zhang and Brendan and Melinda. I want to pray for that. I also want to be just praying for the gospel to spread in our city. At our home where we live in Sandy, there is a new restaurant, or I guess it's somewhat new, and it's opened by Bhutanese refugees, and they've started a Bhutanese restaurant. As first Bhutanese I've ever met going to that restaurant. And as I drive by that restaurant, I just kind of pray, Lord, may they be able to hear the gospel. And I want us to think about just in our city. Think about people that you know. Just think about needs for the gospel to spread in our community, friends, family, in our world, and also just pray for Jane and Brendan and Melinda as they seek to see the gospel go forth in China and in Africa. So let's bow in a time of prayer as we pray for the gospel to spread to all people groups. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this glorious Lord's Day. We thank you for this time to to come before you, to hear your word, to be built up and encouraged by your word, and to just worship you together as a corporate family. And Lord, as we gather, we want to just pray for your gospel to go forth. May the joy of Christ go forth to all peoples. We pray that many people groups would be glad and rejoice in the gospel. We pray for Jane, Brendan, Melinda, as they are proclaiming the gospel to others. We pray that you'd empower them and strengthen them. Lord, I pray for my Bhutanese neighbor's restaurant. Lord, I pray for them to hear the gospel. Lord, we pray for, there's a lot of maybe Somali or different groups of people in our country, in our city. And I pray that they would hear the gospel, come to faith in Jesus Christ. Bless us as local churches here in Salt Lake City as we seek to take the gospel to those in our neighborhood and our city. In your mighty precious name we do pray. Amen. I rarely pay attention to commercials, but recently I was intrigued by a Samsung commercial. After watching the commercial, I turned to my wife and kind of chuckled, and I said, that was a pretty effective commercial. It was one of the better commercials I've seen. And the commercial is titled Growing Up. It features a young man who's been loyal to Apple products. He's an Apple consumer. And in 2007, he uses his Apple phone, but he is frustrated that it runs out of storage. It only has 6 gigabytes. In 2013, he notices that there's a larger screen in Samsung than his Apple phone. In 2016, he's frustrated that his phone is not waterproof, unlike the Samsung phone. And finally, he pulls out an iPhone dongle. I have no idea what this is. And he's annoyed with some of the accessories of his Apple products. Finally, in 2017, sometime, he switches to Samsung. And the message of the commercial is he has grown up. He has come to see that Samsung is superior to Apple. I don't know if that's true. And one article described the commercial in this manner. The church of Apple-ology is a con. Samsung pleads at the corner. How many, though, can really be saved? That's the message of Samsung in this commercial. And currently in our world, people can be labeled as Apple or Samsung consumers, lovers, fans. People are convinced of the superiority of one than to the other. And many fans wait in eager expectation for the Apple, whatever, 10, or the Samsung, what is it, the Galaxy 8, I think. Happiness and satisfaction can be found in a newer, better phone. So we wait in long lines. We long to get a new, better phone. And today, as we continue our series through Luke's Gospel, we come upon two people that were longing, that were waiting, that were hoping for something. But they were waiting for something that was far superior than the Apple 10 or the Galaxy 8. They were waiting for their Redeemer, their Savior, the one that would bring about God's salvation. And so today, as we continue our series in Luke, we're going to read from Luke chapter 2, verse 21 through 40, as we read about Simeon and Anna. So I invite you to stand with me, because this is God's Word that we come to sit under to hear from, as we look in Luke 2, 21 through 40. I'm going to read this passage. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves, or 2 young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit in the temple, and when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when he was a virgin, from when she was a virgin, and then a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping and fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and speak to Him, all who were waiting the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We pray for insight, understanding into Your Word. We pray that You give us grace to heed Your Word, to treasure Your Word, to trust Your Word, and walk in obedience to Your Word. In Your mighty name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The incarnation, Jesus' coming, results in joy and increased anticipation. That's been a theme. Joy is a theme throughout the first two chapters of Luke. And that's what we see, that joy in Jesus' birth. The angels declared joy to the shepherds. The shepherds glorified Jesus. And now Simeon and Anna were filled with great joy in beholding Jesus. And here in this passage, we see in this event that Jesus goes through some events. We see His circumcision in verse 21. That's after 8 days. And now there's reference to a purification in verse 22. And this reference to purification is talking about the Old Testament law, and particularly point us back to Leviticus chapter 12. In Leviticus chapter 12, when a mother gave birth to a child, she was supposed to go through a purification period. And we see that in Leviticus 12, 2 through 4. For 40 days, the mother was declared unclean. Right? And then the baby was to be purified. And we see that also in Leviticus. And he was to be offered, you're supposed to offer a lamb or two turtle doves or two pigeons. And what we see from this example here is that Mary and Joseph were not rich. If you were richer, you would offer a lamb. But if you were poor, you were to offer two pigeons or two turtle doves. And what we see here is that Jesus was born into a family that was not wealthy, of high class, but he was born into poverty. And the point that Luke is making here is that Jesus' parents, that Joseph and Mary, were faithful followers of the Lord, and that they submitted to God's law, and that Jesus was fully dedicated to God and His law. He was one that was fully dedicated to God. And following these ceremonies, Simeon and Anna meet Jesus. They are also devout followers of Jesus. We see this in verse 25. Simeon was righteous and devout. Anna, she did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. These are two examples of people that loved the Lord and followed the Lord. And they were longing to see Jesus. They were longing to meet the Savior. Their entire lives have been filled with eager anticipation to meet the Messiah. And now they were very old. We do not know how old Simeon was. The Bible does not say. But in non-biblical sources, some have suggested that Simeon was 112 years old. That's what's written in some sources. And Anna, even though it says 84 years old, we don't know if that she was 84, or it could be understood in the Greek that she stayed a widow for 84 years. That it could be that she was 104. 103, 105 years old. And what we see, these were old, elderly people who are waiting, longing for God's salvation. And imagine the joy. You're waiting your entire life for one event. And then you see it. And it's just amazing joy. I mean, this blows out the joy of like waiting for the next Star Wars, or waiting for some like movie that you've been waiting for, or waiting for the Jazz to win the NBA championship, right? You know, waiting your whole life for something, just great joy. beholding Jesus filled their hearts with great joy and anticipation. And friends, knowing Jesus, experiencing His salvation, should fill our hearts with joy and great anticipation. This past Christmas season, what we see in Luke's account of Jesus' birth, what we celebrate at Christmas, is a thing of joy. And I hope that we can understand the joy of knowing Christ, and that we would have increased joy, anticipation in Jesus and for Jesus' return. And so today I want to consider three truths that Jesus brings about: comfort, division, and satisfaction. First, comfort. God's promise of comfort is fulfilled through Jesus. And this past week, last week, I flew to North Carolina for my grandmother's funeral. And in a funeral, you come face to face the reality of the need for comfort, right? We send greeting cards of sympathy. I'm sorry for your loss. I received text messages. People came and hugged our family. And to seek to comfort, to give words of comfort, words of encouragement in times of grieving the loss of a loved one. My grandmother will be missed by many in our family. And in this time of reflecting on her love, I and my parents and my siblings and my aunts and uncles and cousins and nieces and nephews needed comfort. And comfort is needed when we lose a loved one. But comfort's also needed in our everyday lives. Perhaps even now you might need a hug from someone, right? You might be going through a pretty rough week, right? My wife is going through right now 3 really sick kids in our home, and that's pretty difficult, right? And I hope that I can encourage and comfort her as we just had a sick home for 4 or 5 days in a row. We need comfort when we're treated ill by a coworker, when a dating relationship ends, when we're going through a family crisis, when we're sick, when we're struggling through financial stresses. We need people to comfort us. And in God's Word, we see the wonderful promises, particularly in the Old Testament, of God's comfort. And in verse 25, you see that Simeon says, waiting for the consolation of Israel. Consolation means comfort, encouragement. And this was a promise of God's great comfort that would come about through His redemption, through His deliverance. Simeon was waiting for it. And throughout Isaiah, we see that there's this promise of God's comfort. God's people had experienced pain and sadness. They had seen their cities destroyed and wiped out. People had been taken to exile. They had been ruled over foreign rulers that had treated them unfairly. They'd seen oppression. They'd seen pain. And God had promised comfort. One of them we read already, Isaiah 40, verse 1. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. God's comfort is promised to them. Isaiah 49:13. Sing for joy, O heavens, and exalt, O earth. Break forth, O mountains, into singing. For the Lord has comforted His people and will have compassion on the afflicted. Isaiah 57:18. I have seen His ways, but I will heal him. I will lead him and restore comfort to him and his mourners, creating the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to the far and to the near, says the Lord. I will heal him. If you just read Isaiah, just take Isaiah 40 through 66, you'll come across comfort 25 times. These words for comfort. Scripture is filled with the promise of God's comfort. And the promise of His comfort assured God's people that He will lead, that He will shepherd, that He will comfort, that He will show compassion, that He will fill us with joy and compassion. Simeon and Anna trusted in God's promises of comfort, and that great hope would come through Jesus Christ, His salvation, His redemption. And the promise of redemption, of God's consolation, of God's comfort, of God's encouragement, is realized through the gospel of Jesus Christ. God has planned to redeem sinners like you and me through Jesus Christ. He's taken on human flesh. He came to be like us. He came to suffer with us. He faced all the discomfort and rejection and hatred that you have faced. He faced all the pains and suffering. He identified with us. He perfectly obeyed God's law in our place. And on the cross, He bore your shame, your guilt, your pain, your sin. And through Christ, we can have new life. We can be forgiven of our sins. And friends, because of Jesus Christ, there's great hope for His comfort. The gospel, we are richly blessed with the comfort of God. And I want you to just think about some of the New Testament promises of God's comfort. Consider Matthew 11, 28 through 30. The comfort of rest in Christ. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. Any of you heavy laden? Any of you exhausted, worn out? And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The comfort of forgiveness of sins. Maybe some of you are, there's sins that you are feel a great sense of shame and guilt from right now that are hidden from others. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. That is great comfort. When your sin, when your guilt beats you up, consider the work of Christ for your sins. The comfort of God's unfailing love. Romans 8:38-39. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm sure maybe now or at some point you've had struggle with not feeling the comfort of rest, of forgiveness of sins, of God's love. And we go to the gospel, we need to be reminded of this because we are prone to forgetting and not believing. In Jesus' presentation before Simeon, we see the wonderful promise of God's salvation. Jesus would redeem us from our sin. Jesus would bring about God's great comfort, His great consolation. And we need to reflect on these promises. Perhaps in your life you're filled with anxiety right now. Perhaps you've neglected the promises of God. Perhaps you're living in unconfessed, unrepentant sin. When we turn to the gospel, when we find the comfort of Christ and the gospel. If you are facing a time of a lot of discomfort and you want to talk to someone, I'd love to pray for you or talk with you. Second truth is division. Jesus brings division. I mean, this is kind of a sharp divide from comfort to division, right? And throughout this passage, we see the theme of joy and hope. Jesus would bring about God's comfort, consolation. There is a hope for Simeon that his eyes had seen God's salvation. Look at verse 30. My eyes have seen your salvation. There's a hope that he'd bring salvation to all peoples, right? A salvation that he prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel. The great hope that we have in the gospel is that Jesus came from the people of Israel. The gospel came to them first, but then would go forth to all people groups. And there's a great hope. But surprisingly, Simeon prophesies that Jesus would not only bring comfort, but division. I want to read verses 34 to 35, the most difficult verses here in this passage. Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. The paradox of the gospel is that comfort and division come through Jesus. In our thinking, comfort and division don't really fit. We might think of Jesus as a giant big teddy bear that just wants to give comfort to everyone. But not really division. But in the gospel, that's what we see. And in verse 34, he says, some people will fall over Jesus and some people will rise. Some people will reject Jesus while other people will trust Jesus. Jesus will be assigned as opposed. not everyone will love, believe, and follow Jesus. And this could be particularly painful. Divisions, hatred, fighting can be extremely painful. In our country, it's very divided politically, ethnically, culturally, socially, economically. Divisions can be very painful. And here we see that the visions of Jesus' ministry would be particularly painful to Mary. Look at what verse 35 says. He says, "And a sword will pierce through your own soul also." The prophecy is that Jesus' ministry will be very painful for Mary. Particularly for Mary. Jesus' ministry will be hard because people would hate Him. I mean, just think about the gospel. These people wanted to kill Him. People wanted to stone Him. People wanted to kill Jesus. They hated Jesus. Imagine being Mary when that happens. Right? I mean, I have three kids right now. I can't imagine someone wanting to pick up a stone and throw it at one of my kids' head. I mean, that would be incredibly painful. People would hate, reject, arrest, and ultimately kill her son. Jesus' ministry would divide people. People would trust and believe, but others would hate. Her emotional pain would feel like being stabbed with a sword. And similarly in our lives, following Christ can be painful for us. It could be painful to see friends or family members reject Jesus. Or maybe even reject you because you follow Jesus. While in Africa, I met a man named Salafu. When he was 6 years old, he met a missionary who shared the gospel with him. But the problem was his family was Islamic. And so when he told his parents that he was following Jesus, they kicked him out of the home. He was homeless. And the missionary had to raise the kid because his family rejected him because of Jesus Christ. And that's what we can see in our lives. But in the midst of the division, we see the purpose of the vision. His purpose is described in verse 35 as revealing the hearts of people. The idea here is that Jesus will reveal your true motives. True motives can be difficult to determine, right? I mean, all of us right here, we could have motives that we could hide from one another. We could come to church and be like, "I'm a pretty face. My life is perfect. Things are going well." But all the while, our life could be messed up. We could be like, I hate being at church. I hate the person I'm sitting next to. You know, I hate all these things." And we could just pretend. We can hide things. We can hide the motives of our heart. But what we see in Jesus is the one that knows the true motives of our heart. He knows what we're thinking. Jesus reveals our hearts. Jesus reveals whom we truly worship. Apart from God's gracious mercy, all of our hearts are in rebellion against God. Our heart motivations are to worship and to please ourselves. But Jesus comes to reveal our rebellion, our sin, our need for a Savior. Jesus reveals our rejection of God. Jesus reveals our need for forgiveness. Kent Hughes says this, "Jesus knocks us down. He's like a boxer that's knocking us down so that He can pick us up. He reveals our false motives, our need for a Savior, so He can raise us." And friends, what I want to ask, what is the condition of your heart? What are your true motives with regard to Jesus? Perhaps you're stumbling over Him right now. I hope that Jesus would reveal the true motives of your heart and see your need for a Savior. Third, we see that Jesus brings satisfaction. Back in the fall of 2016, the Chicago Cubs were playing the World Series. Lowell was very happy. We were at our house one October. I remember watching it with him. They had not won the World Series for, I believe, 108 years. Is that right? Is that right, Lowell? Okay. And one fan who was particularly excited was someone named Helen Withman. She was 98 years old and wanted to see the Cubs win the World Series before she died. Helen was able to witness this historic event, and then a couple weeks later, she died. And one of the local Chicago papers said, "Cubs fan dies in peace." I was like, that's interesting. And many fans long for their teams to win championships. Some wait their entire lives right? As Salt Lake City, Jazz, we're still waiting, right? In this passage, we see Simeon and Anna, right? They're longing for something more than the championship. They're longing for God's salvation. And what we see in Simeon and Anna is they're longing for God's salvation, that they are examples for us in longing for Jesus' return. For His great peace, for His great comfort, for His righteousness. As God's people, we know that Jesus will return. We believe it, but often we long for other things, right? We long to go to our favorite restaurant, right? We long for our favorite sports team. We long for our favorite movie. We long for a bonus at the end of the year. We long for different things. And oftentimes we're bored or uninterested in the thought of Jesus and Scripture and the idea of Jesus' return. A guy named Clyde Kilby said this, "One of the tragedies of the fall is that we get tired of familiar glories." What he's saying there is this. We get tired of hearing about Jesus. We get tired of hearing about the resurrection. And we are more excited about other glories. The glories of our sports or movies or food or technology. Right? And we get tired of Jesus. It's just like, blah. Why do I need to hear that again? But what we see here is that the glory of Christ, the beauty of Christ, is that which is of supreme worth. And Simeon and Anna saw clearly the great glory of Jesus, the great glory of God, and they longed for to see it more and more clearly. And when I was at my grandmother's burial, they had dug up the area where she was going to be buried. And next to her tomb was where my grandfather had been buried 20 years ago. And we were walking around there looking, and my mother, or one of the relatives, noticed my grandfather's tombstone. And my grandfather's tombstone was all dirty. Right? It was because the dirt was dug up and just it's caked in mud and just gross. And my mother said this, "Oh no, my grandmother would not have liked that. She was very clean, and she did not like dirt on her husband's tombstone." And I was sitting there watching as people got water bottles and got napkins and other things to clean off the tombstone because it was dirty. And I was thinking, you know, I don't think someone in that time says, I don't think she cares anymore. I don't think she cares about a dirty tombstone anymore because she was seeing the glory of Jesus Christ face to face. And as I was sitting there thinking about that, oftentimes I'm focused on a dirty tombstone. Just things here that ultimately really don't matter. When the glory of Jesus awaits us. And we need to see more clearly just the glory, the supreme worth of Jesus. That's my hope for this year, that I just get more and more amazed at God's glory. And what we see here is that we are to be filled with anticipation and joy in Jesus' return. And as I think about Simeon and Anna looking, longing for Jesus' coming, I think about what Luke says in Luke 21, 34 through 36 with regard to Jesus' returning. And here is what he says in Luke 21, 34 through 36. "But watch yourselves, lest your heart be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, that the day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place, and to stand before the Son of Man." Jesus' instructions to us throughout the Gospels are to stay awake, to stay alert, to be watchful, to be ready. And I hope that we can be watchful by watching our heart. Friends, do you watch your heart? Watch the voices, the desires, the things in life that are appealing, that are alluring to your heart. Jesus instructs us to watch out for wasteful pursuits. Don't waste your life on things that ultimately don't matter. Waste our lives on the desire for drunkenness or riches, cares for this world. Watch your heart to see if it's growing cold toward Jesus. We need to watch our hearts to see if there's ways in which we're being slowly led astray from Jesus. Secondly, watch Jesus. Look to Jesus. Stay alert, ready, anticipating, praying, seeking Him in prayer and in His Word. Pray that the Lord would strengthen you so that you would persevere. I hope that would be the case in each and every one of our hearts, guys. That we would long for, anticipate Jesus and His return. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word to us. I thank You for just the joy that we see here in Luke 2. And Lord, I thank You for the great joy of knowing Christ. I thank You for the great joy of our forgiveness of our sins. And I just pray that You would increase our anticipation for You and for Your return. In Your mighty name we pray. Amen.
Let's go ahead and stand together.
To remember.
to follow in the steps of Christ as His worthy hero.
You can be seated as we, as this song sang, move to partake of the bread and of the juice, reflecting, remembering Jesus' body and blood that was beaten and shed for us. As we do that, I'm going to read from Luke's account as Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper, from Luke 22, verse 17 through 20. And He took a cup, and when He had given thanks, He said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And He took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is My body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in My blood." And so today we're going to remember Christ's work on the cross for our salvation. And as we move to reflect and remember that, I want us to go through a prayer confession. You can remain seated as we say this together in unison. Merciful God, we confess that with us there is abundance of sin, but in You there is the fullness of righteousness and abundance of mercy. We are spiritually poor, but You are rich, and in Jesus Christ came to be merciful to the poor. Strengthen our faith and trust in You. We are empty vessels that need to be filled. Fill us. We are weak in faith. Strengthen us. We are cold in love. Warm us. And make our hearts fervent for You, that our love may go out to one another and to our neighbors. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Take a moment just to reflect on your life. Maybe you see sin that you need to confess. Maybe you see a lack of love. Maybe you see a coldness in your heart. Let's just bow and just reflecting on our life. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the mercy, Your mercy. We thank You for Your grace. We thank You for the forgiveness that we have through Christ. Because, Lord, we look at our lives and we see abundance of sin. We see coldness of heart. We see lack of love. Lord, we need Your forgiveness. We need Your grace. And we thank You of the assurance of Your forgiveness through the cross of Christ. We thank You that Your body was beaten, that it was hung on a cross, that Your blood was shed so that we could be forgiven of our sins. Thank You for this. Lead us in confession of our sins. Amen. As we move into a time of remembering the Lord's Supper, I'm going to invite Lowell and Peter to come forward a service. And as we partake of this, we want to remember that this is for all of you that have trusted in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If you trust in Jesus, if you have confessed your sins, repented of your sins, and trust solely in Jesus for your salvation, we welcome you to partake of the Lord's Supper with us. As it is a joyous occasion if we remember what Christ has done for us. As we move into a time to remember Christ's body that was beaten for us, I'm going to ask Peter to pray for us.
Heavenly Father, we want to thank You for giving us this opportunity. One more time, when we hold the Easter, is that this bread that was presented, Jesus has Christ's body. You want us to be in the remembrance of You, what happened 2,000 years ago. Thank You, Lord, whenever we hold this body, we speak about that. you came to the earth. You brought out the peace. You brought out the consolation. You give us, what you have done for us. And we also remember you died for us. You keep that you were dying on the cross, shedding your blood. And you also want us to remember what you have done for us. And remind us you love us. And also, and remind us that don't forget it in the beginning love. Yes, the longer the Christian we are, sometimes we are getting colder and forgot what you have done for us. Thank you, Lord, this is the opportunity. One more time. You died for us. You want us to remember what you have done for us. Let us take walking daily with you every day. Thank you, Lord. The praise in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Partake of this bread, remembering Jesus' body that was hung on a cross and beaten for us. As we remember Jesus' blood that was shed for us, I'm going to ask for Lowell to pray for us.
Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, we're just so grateful and thankful that you would come here to bear on flesh that you may ultimately lay down your life, shedding your precious life and blood to set us free from the bondage of sin. And that preciousness of that blood that cleanses us from all unrighteousness, Lord, knowing that we are restored in relationship with you. And Lord, in light of this beauty of this gospel, this beauty of this life you've shed for us, we pray, Lord, that we may continue to walk every day in remembrance of you, and also let us walk in eager anticipation of your return. In precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Of this juice, remembering Christ's blood that was shed for us with thankfulness. Now let's move into a time of singing the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Him above ye heavenly hosts, praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Amen. Go in His grace.
I started thinking, I'm playing the wrong thing.
Oh crap.
I was like, should I stop? Or should I just adjust?
That was good.
We like slowed down and like. We got it.
Yeah.
It's been fun. Joe will probably let you know next time I'm in town again.
Yeah. If you ever need someone in Virginia.
We're always lacking a band.
Oh, yeah.
You never get anyone to come in.
That's the tough part. It's like, I mean, even getting one person that you can just, like, play with all the time.
Yeah. My Cajon player is graduating.
Okay. Is it the same area? Is it a lot of graduates, or is it mostly people?
It depends.
Yeah.
They never come back to our fellows. Like, they don't come back to play, though.
Yeah. They just, like, go out through their...
This is a campus ministry, not a church yet.
They want to be that college student that never goes away.
Do you know whose pick this is?
No idea.
It was sitting there when I got
here. Oh, like on the...
Yeah. Here's the music. Thanks, Marcus.
Thank you. Thanks for always letting me know when Stephanie's in town so I can, like, give her a week's notice. Like, hey, but this time, you didn't think Jesus thank you. What was that? pick up. She was like, hello. Yeah.
Just to let you know.